Because it says here in verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Well, any of us that are born as sons of Adam could say, that's me. It was a time when I walked according to the course of this world, when I was servant to the prince of the power of the air, influenced by Satan himself, and the very spirit, notice, that works in, currently, the children of disobedience. So by way of comparison, those that are children of disobedience versus those who are children of obedience. And here's where there's enough in scripture to ensnare people as they read who don't have the spirit of God, because most people when they read that, they think, ah, now I've got to furnish some kind of obedience to distinguish myself from children of disobedience. But read on. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And notice, and were by nature children of wrath. It never says that these were actually children of wrath. Because we know in scripture there are those that are vessels of wrath, and we know those that are vessels of honor. But by nature children of wrath, even if we're chosen children of God, redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, yet our nature is no different than that of the children of wrath. The only way that any can be made righteous or declared righteous is by that one obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And so any other thought of righteousness or recompense of righteousness, as verse 31 speaks of, behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. The righteous one shall be recompensed in the earth. So perfect and complete was the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that he receives the reward or the recompense of that work that he did in the earth. This was not done in eternity. It was purposed in eternity, but in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And his recompense is that God has looked upon his work as complete, and therefore his work is that which has satisfied God on behalf of those for whom he paid the debt. But I'll tell you, there's nothing that God ever judges by appearance. And that's what we see here in Acts 17, as Paul was preaching there on Mars Hill and describing the difference between the one true God and all of these other gods that they had by devotion. Their gods being worshipped with men's hands, but him declaring in verse 25, the God of righteousness is not worshipped with men's hands. It says there in verse 25, as though he needed anything. See, people today still come and thinking, God needs what I'm bringing. No. Everything to God's satisfaction that he needed by way of satisfaction was in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it says here in verse 30, in the times of his ignorance, God winked at. When it says winked at, it doesn't mean he looked the other way, but it's a way of speaking in which before Christ came and actually fulfilled this law and righteousness and laid down his life, God was forbearing with those that lived before Christ came and died. It was in his forbearance that he dealt with those that he had chosen in his grace and mercy from eternity. But now, when he says now, that's a time word. It means since the cross. Now that Christ has come and fulfilled all righteousness and established it, he earned it and established it, and God has put it to the account of those for whom he paid the debt, now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. When it says all men, it means whatever tribe, nation, and tongue, all men ethnically, wherever they might be found, the command is to repent.